Welcome. You're about to listen to a message from LifePoint, a warm, friendly, and vibrant community for the young at heart.
Give you praise, wine, and prayers. This is the confidence that we have. We rejoice in your presence this morning because you are faithful. We judge you faithful that has promised. To you all flesh has gathered this morning. We say thank you, our Father, because you are still in the business of doing exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask, all that our minds can conceptualize, all that we can place before you. We receive of the abundance of you. We say thank you, our Father and our God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed and agreed. Amen and amen. Go ahead, put those hands together and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone who sent in a prayer, begin to rejoice because God has heard your cry and is answered. And you want to go ahead, take a minute and thank the person who's prayed for you and with you this morning. Just say thank you to them. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, I want to especially appreciate the LifePoint band for, you know, that beautiful carol production or rendition, as it were. I was saying to myself, when Kenny and when Kenny and Tony were doing their thing, and even I did, everyone who sang up on stage here, I was saying to myself, thank God we don't have to sing the word. Thank God all that I have to do is just to preach and teach the word, because I don't know how I would compare with them. So we give God grace, we give God praise for other forms of expression. You know, the psalmist was saying, I was singing, or it was Paul actually, I was singing the spirit, I would pray in the spirit. I would teach the word with grammar that you can hear me. I don't have to sing it. All right, in the brevity of time that I have, I'm just going to share what is on my heart in this season. And I know that a lot of us are expecting a Christmas-y message, you know. But it's just stuff that I've been brooding on for quite a bit for myself personally. And one of the things that I always say to God is that I will not be a hypocrite, you know. You have to start the work with me, and you have to help me understand who I need to become for next year. And it's interesting, we were at a leaders gathering with our global lead pastor, Pastor Godman, yesterday, and he was touching on some of the things that the Holy Spirit had already began to, you know, minister to me personally. And so out of that abundance, I'm just going to share with you very briefly this morning. And so for the benefit of anyone who likes to take notes, I'm going to give a title, and it's called God Encounters. God Encounters. Here at LifePoint, we do something for the benefit of anyone, again, who's worshiping with us for the first time. Thank you so much for being here. We're excited, and we have a time in service where we're going to appreciate you for coming. But there's something we do here at LifePoint, which we call God Experience, right? You see people come up on stage, and they share for about 10 minutes or so on their walk with God and how they are experiencing God in their journey. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, look, the people that we need to become are people who are desirous of encounters, right? Scripture is replete with examples of people who encountered God and their lives never remained the same again. So my simple assignment this morning is to charge you up as you prepare for 2024 to be people who seek God for an encounter. The word encounter, I know that there's a way in, if you've been in church long enough, you will assume it is the English translation of some deep Greek or Hebrew word, because you would have heard divine encounters. Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Thank you. Excuse me. Right. You would have heard the phrase divine encounter used quite a lot. And so there's a way a lot of us assume that it's a spiritual word, yeah? But it's an English word. And it simply means unexpected meeting or experience with someone or something. An unexpected meeting or experience with someone or something. Now, I have a problem with that definition, right? Especially with the use of the word unexpected. Because it does sound as though for us to have divine encounters, we are not supposed to expect, it's just supposed to happen. But because we know the God that we serve, we know the God, we understand the nature and the person of God, at least to some appreciable degree. And so we recognize that God is not flippant, right? How many people agree? God isn't flippant. God isn't spontaneous, as it were. God is a planner. He's a master strategist. In fact, what we are celebrating in this season did not happen at the time that Jesus was born. It wasn't that God woke up and said, how shall these things be? How shall we solve this problem? Okay, so I will take on human nature. When you read scripture in Revelation, it speaks about the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God, you know, that was slain before the foundations of the world. What that says to you is the work had already been finished before we even then started experiencing Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the earth. Because there's a way we read the Bible and we just assume that things happened, you know, very chronologically, and then God woke up, and then one day there was a problem that needed to be solved, and God said, you know what, okay, so I'll take on the human form, my son is going to die. No, it's that these things had been established before the foundations of the world. So that's one thing there, which is where I have a problem with that definition of unexpected. Because where God is concerned and where divine encounters are concerned, it is not an unexpected meeting. Where God is, from God's point of view, right, the way we say it in our world, God's POV, it's not an unexpected meeting. It is where you and I are concerned, usually, that it is unexpected. And so I say to the Holy Spirit, what do we, knowing that there are certain things that you and I cannot strategize. Everyone who had an encounter with God in Scripture could not have willed it to be. Are we together? They could not have designed it. Mary could not have looked at herself and said, now that I have arrived, I'm the one that is deserving to carry the Messiah. Are we together? She could not have conceived it. Moses could not have. Even when Moses thought that surely as a Jew in Egypt, as an Israelite in Egypt, I have an assignment here. When he tried to execute what he thought or his understanding of the assignment, it caused problems because there was a misalignment where time was concerned. And so, even when God then showed up to him much later, he had eaten humble pie. He had been in the desert for like 40 years, just doing whatever his hand found to do, being faithful at it. And when God believed that it was time, he showed up. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just wanted to lay that foundation and just frame this this teaching this morning so that as we go along, you understand that the constant in a divine encounter is the person and the nature of God, right? And so God is desirous of us encountering him, getting to know him, understanding his ways, experiencing his acts. He wants all that for us. So who do we need to be to experience this? Who do we need to be? Encounters with God are divine premeditated occurrences. They are divinely premeditated. So they don't happen by chance. It might look on our side of the divide as though that thing just happened. You know, I just encountered that thing. God just made it happen. But I am saying to you this morning that there is a divine plan and a purpose. And your ability to align with that plan and purpose, being in the right place at the right time, meeting the right people, doing the right things, saying the right things, you know, embracing God's will for your life and just being where he wants you to be per time and per season is what brings about those encounters. Because there must always be an alignment of several factors so that God can do what he has proposed to do. The purpose of encounters is for the establishment of God's will and the fulfillment of his purpose, right? They are opportunities that God presents to man to enable man step up, the way I put it here, step up into, might sound like tautologist, because I could have just said step into. But every time man encounters God, there is a lifting, there is a shift, which was why I was not comfortable just saying step into. It's step up and into. Because that is what God is calling us to arise from where we are and enter into where he has prepared. To arise from where we are, enter into that shift, enter into that next level in him. So, We encounter God's power, we encounter God's promises, but something very important, because the power and the promises are encoded and embedded in Him, is we encounter His person. And I feel very strongly, at least personally, and I know that that is also applicable to us as a movement, that God is calling us to encounter His person. God is calling you and I to encounter His person more than we've ever experienced or encountered. So I know that in 2024, we're going to see a fresh wave of God experiences that will transcend the things that, these things will be outstanding, and mind-blowing in Jesus' name. Because people will walk with God in a way that they have never walked with Him before. How many people are hungry for that level? How many people are desirous of that level? Okay, so as I try and bring it all together, I want to leverage the season, because we're talking about the birth of Jesus, which is why I said this is not a very Christmassy message, right? And so just follow me. I'm going to read scripture from the book of Luke. I'm choosing Luke because Luke is one of the authors of scripture who, especially in the Gospels, that chronologically presents the events of the life of Jesus, right? Maybe that's because of his profession, but he was very detailed in just following event after event. But there are people, just even looking at the birth of Jesus, there are people who, in that entire conundrum, experienced and encountered God in a way that they had never experienced or encountered him. First off on that list is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the privileged mother of Jesus. When you look at scripture, well, before I read Mary, let me speak about Elizabeth and Zacharias. When you look at scripture in Luke chapter 1 from verse, let's read from verse 15. Let's read from 13. It says, "But the angel of the Lord said to Zacharias, 'Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son.'" Now let me help you understand something here. If you're familiar with this story, you would know that there was a need, as with all of us. A lot of us have put up our prayer requests this morning, and we have presented them to God. But I sense strongly that God is saying to some people that, look, beyond what you are asking me for, you need to permit my will, because it is greater than your need. Elizabeth and Zechariah needed a son, right? And that was all that they wanted. They were well advanced in age. Very similar to the story of Abraham and Sarah. And God said to them, look, through the angel, your wife will conceive, and you shall call his name John. Verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink not wine nor strong drink. He will be filled. Now, this is part I want us to focus on, because God then starts to spell out the assignment and the purpose of that son. It's not just a son that will make you happy. It's not just a son that will check off your biological calendar and say, I'll make you a mother. You know how it is. We say our firstborn kids are womb openers and things like that. You know, first the source of our strength, etc. Beyond that, God said he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now, there are not too many children that in scripture that God says expressly about, speaks expressly about like this. There are not too many. From the mother's womb. So what that says to you, if you're married here, what that says to you and you're looking to God for children is that your children, and if you're not even married, you're single, you're looking to get married, you're going to have kids, your children can be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. That is what the Bible says here. It is very possible that they are filled with the Spirit of God from conception. And we see how that will play out. Let me read quickly. It says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is the assignment. And that is why God needed a John. So beyond Zechariah and Elizabeth's desire, beyond their need, and that is a clear word for someone. Beyond that job you're asking for, you know, beyond that spouse you're asking for, there's a bigger assignment. And so we need to position as people of encounter who are ready to receive the word of God concerning that need that were placed before him. And then when you jump to verses 19, Gabriel then establishes his authority, because it looked as though Zachariah was trying to question him. And he establishes his authority and says to him, I stand before the Lord. So what you are hearing from me is the word of God expressly. Let's jump very quickly to verse 22. Because we don't have time, just note those scriptures and just read with me as we go along. Do we have it up on screen? Okay. He says, but when he came out, he could not speak, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple for the back end. Apologies, just disregard that. The devil is a liar. We will not be distracted. This word, it will enter you, because God has prepared it for you. Jump to verse 25. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Before then, Elizabeth had then conceived, and she was about 5 months gone, and she testified. So that which God had promised was established, right? Literally about 5 months after, she was 5 months gone, and then of course she went and hid herself. So in the sixth month, now it is in the sixth month after Elizabeth had, conceived, right? I'm saying this to you to help you understand how God works with man, to try and show you that fundamentally was the fact that Jesus had to come, that redemptive process needed to be kick-started, that Jesus had to take on human form, divinity had to become humanity, so that we can have a high priest that we can reference, the one who was tempted in all ways but yet was still standing, the one who is easily touched by the feelings of our infirmity. He needed to walk through this earth. That was the primary purpose. But I want you to see how many lives were attached to the peace. Just pause that thing first. See how many lives were, I love you too. I know you're doing your job. See how many lives were attached to this, right? See how many people walked with God encountered God by reason of this divine promise. So there was Elizabeth and Zachariah there. So if I had a board, I would have tried to draw a tree. There was the divine promise, right? There was Zachariah and Elizabeth experiencing it through the birth of John, who had to come as a foreigner to Jesus. Are we together? Then when you fast forward, there was even the Mary who was somewhere, in Nazareth there. An angel shows up. We can't read the scripture, so I'm just going to talk through the story. Angel shows up to Mary and says to her, blessed are you amongst women. Rejoice. You have found favor with God. Says all these beautiful things. And she was just confused because she's young. She was just looking to, getting married and following the natural order of things. And when the angel delivers the assignment, same way he delivered it to Zachariah, he says to her, look, you are going to have a child, but it's not going to come through the natural order that you're familiar with. And of course, that confuses her. And she says, how shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? And the Holy Spirit says, there are some of us here that the only way we are seen out is the natural order. The only way you are seen out of that situation, the only way you are projecting your 20 and planning your 2024 right now is through the natural order. I have to have a job. Because I have just finished school, I have to have a job in this area of study and we have sort of just lined it up. Can I ask this morning that you will permit divine disruptions? How many people are going to allow God just disrupt their plans for next year? That which you have documented, and you're saying, God, this is what I expect. Would you permit a divine disruption? Because that is how we encounter God. Mary experienced that disruption. And by the time the Holy Spirit speaks to her, the angel speaks to her, I think that's in Luke 1, 30-something, maybe 34, let me find this quickly. In Luke 1, 35, it says, the angel answered her when she asked that very simple question. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Now, that word overshadow simply means to obscure, right? It means to subsume. It means... because there's one I wrote. It says, to appear more prominent and important than. So when they say to her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, essentially what is being said is, that which you are incapable of, those areas and feelings of inadequacy and insufficiency that you have for this divine promise to be established through you is that you will become another man. Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be subsumed in the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost. That you will be able to do that which is humanly impossible to conceive. How many people are desirous of that kind of level? How many people desire that the Holy Spirit indeed will overshadow them? That when you show up, it is the Holy Spirit, you show up in the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost that indwells you and has taken over. Because that's what it means. To be overshadowed is to be taken over completely, to become another man. Other people who encountered God in Scripture, I mean, through this birth, the shepherds who were doing their thing, at the time Jesus was then born, they were the ones who literally were first notified, right? They were notified that this had happened in Bethlehem, and so they went to search it out. There was a Simeon in the temple who God had promised that you will not know death until you see the consolation of Israel. I mean, his life was hinged on the performance of that word. His life was connected to the appearance of that and the fulfillment of that divine promise. What is your life connected to? What word has God given to you that you feel the need to junk? And God is saying, hold on to that word. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. I am at work in you. I am working it out. This is connected to a bigger purpose and a bigger assignment. It is beyond you. And that's what God is saying to someone here. It is beyond you. Sometimes we have let off, you know, all this, I'm feeling my feelings. I am into the things that we say in our world. I'm, you know, it's feeling my feelings now, Abby. You are in your feelings. We are so in our feelings. We are so carnal when it comes to the promises and the counsel of God. When it comes to God's word. And God wants us to change that very quickly. Okay, so I know that. Thank you guys for giving me additional time. I will try and breeze through. Anna also was someone who was there. Scripture says that she had been a widow, you know, 7 years after her marriage. And she was just in the temple there praying and fasting. What was Anna praying and fasting for? Again, it's that same fulfillment of promise. And they saw it. They saw it. They saw it. I pray for you that in the name of Jesus, every word that you have run with thus far, every promise that the Lord has released over your life, you will see the manifestation of it in Jesus' name. And not only will you see and experience it, because they saw it, but it transcended. We are celebrating the effect of that divine promise that God made to a group of people. We are still celebrating. I pray that it will transcend your generation. And generations yet unborn will feast. They will drink of the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus' name. Other people that encountered God in Scripture. Moses. We saw how God sought him out. Scripture, let me read it very quickly. Exodus 3. It says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to Horeb. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. But let me go back, because there's a way we sometimes miss it. I only saw it too recently. He says, the bush was burning, it was not consumed. That's a spectacular miracle, right? For the bush to be burning and not consumed. And he says, Moses said, I will now turn aside. I will leave that which I am doing, which appears very important right now, which is the means of my livelihood, which is me caring for my father-in-law's flock. I will turn aside. I will pause on this thing that looks major right now, and I will turn aside and see what is going on here. Watch what it says. It says, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look. Every time I read this part, I'm like, so God, is it possible that if Moses had just look away, moya look away, that we do in our generation, he had done moya look away and was just going, would he have missed a divine encounter? Would he have missed an opportunity? Because God only responded after Moses took action. Are you hearing me, people of God? God responded after Moses took the requisite action, which was to turn aside and to see what was going on in this spectacular miracle. I pray for you that you will not miss the move of God in your generation in Jesus' name. You will not miss the move and the timing and the seasons of God in your life and in your community. Everywhere God is at work, you will recognize it in Jesus' name. You will see the signals very clearly and you will key into it in Jesus' name. God spoke after Moses turned aside to look. He says to him, it was then he called him out of the midst of that bush and he said, here I am. I pray that we will remain curious about the works of God on the earth. We will remain curious about the anointing of God that is stirring in our hearts in Jesus' name. We will not be too busy and too encumbered to miss out on divine moments in Jesus' name. We'll be curious about the promptings of the Holy Spirit as our hearts have been ignited in Jesus' name. So again, I'm just going to run through this very briefly. It's weird. I know the leaders will laugh at me now because there's something I posted on the group that's, yeah, laughing already. It is well with you. So how do we prepare for God encounters in 2024? There's a spiritual preparation required that will determine the level of that encounter that we have. One, position to access revelation. You know what? I really want to shut down now. I will teach this at 6:18. Demilade, I'll take a teaching at 6:18. Yeah? So this is what we'll do. If you're not going to come for 6:18, it's fine. You can log online. I encourage you to come in the room. I will complete this teaching at 6:18. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, because we know that you are at work in and us. And we submit our hearts. We ask, Father, that you would do your work within us and prepare us for the people that you are preparing us to be. Prepare us for the encounters that you are already preparing for us in 2024. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that the message has blessed your heart. To download more free messages, please visit soundcloud.com/lifepointng. For more information about us and all our other resources, please visit www.lifepointng.org.